This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geeks, show number 234, recorded on October 22nd, 2015. Here at Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from theaverageguy.tv here in a very beautiful Bellevue, Nebraska. Some great weather this week, a little bit of rain, but very cool. It's like it's perfect fall weather. The leaves are changing. And at least here in the United States, I know our friends in Australia are actually experiencing spring at this point, which they love. But great time of the year. And, of course, we post the show with world-class show notes each week out at theaverageguy.tv. If you have questions, comments, or contributions, you can contact the show. Send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. Track me down on Twitter @JayCollison. Reach us as well. Reach me if you want to watch. If you go to theaverageguy.tv, look in the bottom right-hand corner. If it says chat with Jim now, that means I'm live on talk.to. And you can just send me a note that way. Love to chat with you during the week. That's one-on-one chat, so you can jump in there. A couple of you did that. Kyle tracked me down last night on talk.to. A little application, absolutely free. You can a little bit of code. You can put it on your site. If it's a WordPress site, super easy. Just put it somewhere in the widget section and boom, it works right for you and does everything it's supposed to do. Cheap, easy, reliable. If you need chat for your website, check out talk.to, theaverageguy.tv platform, both web and media hosting. Courses powered by Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people you know and you trust. And Christian just said he got a new customer the other day from someone that's been listening to us for a long time. So we say thank you for that, and you can get information about hosting out at maplegrovepartners.com. Of course, you can now listen to Home Gadget Geeks on the new Android and iPhone app. It's available for you. Either one of the stores, just search Home Gadget Geek in iTunes or in the Play Store. It's free. It's easy. It's super cool. In fact, we're streaming live on it right now. So if you had that app on your phone and you were in the airport and maybe you couldn't watch us on video, you could be listening to us live. On the new mobile app, you can get that available. Either one of the stores, download the app today. We want to thank LastPass for their mobile sponsorship on that. We'll talk a little bit about LastPass coming up, so hang tight with that. And but we want to thank them for sponsoring our mobile app. Home Gadget Geeks, of course, is a part of the Geeks Network. Find the link to this show and many other great podcasts, including Mike's Open Mic Night, over there at thegeeksnetwork.com. All right, well, we got a great show ahead for you tonight. And we are excited. A bunch of topics that we're going to kind of just roll, we're going to kind of blow through. Before we get that done, I want to welcome Mike Wieger back as the standard co-host here at Home Gadget Geeks. Mike, welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah, speaking of good weather, I got to play golf this Monday, like on, you know, late October, playing golf, and I had to take off my, like, my jacket. I was like, it was too hot. So that's how nice the weather has been. And but yeah, good to be back.
No, good to have you. And then coming in from our second location in Indianapolis, Kyle Wilcox. Kyle, welcome back.
Hi.
How are you, man?
Good.
Things are going well?
Yeah. Staying busy.
That's awesome. Those like three words. Yep.
It's good. It's been fall break this week, so I've been getting a lot of stuff done around the house and stuff. So.
No, good to have you back. I just saw you, right? I saw you at the meetup, right?
Yep. Yep. Okay.
Just Home Gadget Geek or the Home Server Show meetup that we do every single year out in Indianapolis. And Kyle doesn't live too far away, so I got a chance to spend some time with him. If you're not familiar with the Home Server Show or you haven't looked at that, Home Server Show, Surface Geeks, all over at, homeservershow.com or surfacegeeks.net. I think surfacegeeks.com might work now as well. Of course, we always want to thank Dave. He does such a great job on those meetups, and it's so fun to get together. 35 of us this year getting together in Indianapolis, talking a lot of tech. It was a bunch of fun. So, Kyle, good to see you. Welcome back. All right, we got a bunch of topics tonight. I'm going to start with a topic near and dear. Very emotional week for me here at the Collison House because my number four son, I have five children, four boys, a little girl, joined the Marines. And he's a recruit at this point, went in on Monday. And you kind of, if you've had loved ones in the military before, you kind of expect boot camp's going to be rough. They're going to go. They're going to, you know, it's going to be tough. But the Marines are tough, right? That's the tough. I did Army. The Marines are the toughest of the tough. And I really, they were getting us kind of conditioned for, it's 13 weeks long. You're not going to hear from your son for at least 3 weeks, two or three weeks, no letter. They do this crazy phone call as soon as they get on station. They march them in, they separate their personal items from them, and then they march them up to these phone banks, and they get to call, they dial, and they have to scream this sentence. It's like, you know, and they got to say it as loud as they can, you know, this is recruit, Collison, I've arrived safely at the MCRS in San Diego, California, I'm safe, you can expect a letter from me in 2 to 3 weeks, I love you, and they hang up. They're not saying it that way. They're screaming. It's a little I'll be honest, and this isn't tech related, but we tried to record the call. Sarah was going to record the call on her Android device, and that didn't work. He ended up calling me on my iPhone. I didn't have it set up, so we heard him, but we didn't get to record it, which was unfortunate. That would have been one of those fun things to play back later in life, to be like, hey, welcome to what basic training is like from that standpoint. But what I've been surprised with in the Marine, in this whole setup of it, is the amazing amount of tech that the Marines are bringing to this boot camp experience. And they don't get to experience it. From a parental perspective, we do. So he couldn't go with his phone, so his phone is actually behind me. We'll charge it from time to time while he's gone. One of the cool things, by the way, we were badmouth and Sprint. The three of us were badmouth and Sprint. But let me tell you, when I called them the other day and I said I had my son entered, you know, basic training and he's going to be gone for 13 weeks and, you know, is there a way I can just shut off the phone? The gal that helped me transferred me over to their military exception or military, there's another word they use for it, Kyle, maybe military. When they close an account, you're muted. So
you had military stop.
You're muted, Kyle, but it's a
suspension.
Yeah, there it is.
Something like that.
It's a military suspension department. So by the way, if you ever have any friends on active duty, they get deployed and they can't use their phone or whatever, call your carrier and ask them for military exemption or military. What did you say? What was the word? Military.
Well, you can suspend the suspend billing on the account. So.
Yeah. So they're like, we got this great program. I need some information from you. What's his rank? Where's he stationed at? And they didn't. I thought they were going to make me fax in some orders, you know, or something. No, they're like, we're taking care of it. And then the gal says to me, in fact, I'm just going to move him off your plan. We're going to hold on to his number. But when we move him off your plan and put him on military suspension, there'll be no charges for the line at all, not to deactivate it or reactivate it. And then she's like, when he's done, if he wants to reactivate the phone, just call us. We'll reactivate it for free. We'll put him back on your plan. And that'll be, you know, it'll be working again. And so, man, I thought, thanks, Sprint. That was really, really cool to be able to have this program. And so, guys, I just thought that was pretty cool that Sprint took care of us that way. You know,
that's really nice.
They don't always take care of us in the best way. Yeah. Our friends at Sprint don't always do that.
He probably wouldn't get service down at the boot camp anyway, you know. So.
No, probably not.
No, but that is a nice addition that they're.
Yeah.
I wonder if everyone does that. They probably all would.
They probably do.
Yeah, I think most all the carriers do that.
Okay.
Cool. One of the cool things about it was just the great customer service I got from them. They thanked me for my son's service, you know, which was just it was just nice, you know, from that standpoint. One of the things the Marines did, though, is each of the companies, so he is in a company in this depot where he's training, each company has a Facebook page, which I totally didn't expect. Like,
wow.
Serious? So each company, they train for 13 weeks. They literally, the company takes a weekend off. Everybody's graduated. And then that company starts over again the next Monday. And so that current company, the company he's in now, just graduated last Friday, and then his group starts showing up on Monday filling that company back up. So they have a continuously running Facebook group, Facebook page for that you can get access to, and they let you in. Cool thing was about it is pictures started showing up from when the poolies or from the recruits arrived. Totally did not expect that. So there's some pictures of the bus. You know, if you just Google Marine basic training or anything and watch some of the videos, you'll know the iconic bus ride over to the recruiting center. They have to come off the bus and stand on these yellow footprints. They read the UCMJ articles to them. That's the way the military does their code of justice. And then they march you in and they separate your personal items from you. You make your phone call. You get your hair cut. That's the deal, right? That's kind of the entrance into the Marines. So I thought, we'll never see those. Sure enough, pictures showed up, about 8 of them. He was in one of them. And I thought, that's pretty cool.
So that's going to really help out on the parent side.
Yeah, so they can't use any technology, but they're not stopping the parents from getting the access with the technology.
It's not a parent. It's a Marine. It has to be somebody whose job
And I couldn't imagine they'd make a civilian contractor show up at midnight to do these kinds of things. So there's a PR correspondent who's part of the Marine PR, something like that. I don't know. I'm going to have to ask. Taking these photos, because it was midnight when they were doing this. I mean, it's not...
But they won't let the people in the training use their technology, but they're using technology to give you as the parent the access, which is pretty cool. That's nice.
Yeah. No, way more than I thought, right? I was like, wow.
You thought he was going into a black hole for 3 weeks.
Just gonna disappear for 13 weeks and be gone. And so these pictures started showing up on the Facebook page. Ironically, or not ironically, coincidentally, you know, it connects the parents together. And so we're starting to get to know some of the parents of these kids. We're going to see them at graduation. And so it really creates this kind of social experience. Yeah, I mean, I just did not expect that from the Marines at all. And there are a group of admins in these Facebook groups that run these groups. And they're volunteers. They're not paid by anybody. They just volunteer their time to admin the groups, make sure they stay, and then they put in some like, hey, here's some things to expect. You know, you're gonna want to write your recruit this often. This is where how you do it. Say these things. You know, they do some coaching on that, which is as a new parent of a recruit for me, and I did the military, but it was super helpful to kind of understand the military, at least what's going on in the Marine Corps. From that, so I feel like by the time we get there, by the way, bought tickets on Southwest already, which was really really cool. Because Southwest will let you transfer those tickets if something happens and the date change, right? Southwest lets you kind of transfer those tickets. And so we just feel a little more connected to it. And, hey, we don't want to be helicopter parents, right? We're not interested in going in there and say, don't yell at my son or whatever, those kinds of things. I hope he just gets screamed at. He is going to get unhinged in this process. It's part of the growing process of what they go through. But I thought it was pretty cool. That, and I don't know, you know what, if I never get another picture, I am good, but to see him there in the picture just kind of made that connection. I was like, oh, cool. I mean, I knew he was there, but it was just kind of cool. So kudos to the Marines, U.S. Marine Corps, the last branch in the world that I expected to have a Facebook group. And I know it's not there. It's run by a different group and stuff.
How did you find out about it? Did they send you something?
I think through one of the family members. You know, they do a family night, kind of the last night. He went to a hotel Sunday night to spend the night because they had to get him up at 4 in the morning. And they, you know, like, hey, we don't want to bother, you know. You just come stay at the hotel. And put him up in the Sheraton here in town, which is really actually not bad. Yeah. Nice. I was like, maybe I should join the military.
Yeah.
You know? And so, no, take phone. Take, you know, they get there. But in a briefing... And they were really good about briefing us and kind of give us the information. And so no email. You know, they're not going to be able to do that. Letters are the only way. It's still old school letters from that standpoint. But pretty cool experience. So Tim will be in for the next 12 weeks, and we'll make a trip down to San Diego to see him. And one of those Thursdays I'll be down there. Maybe we'll try to broadcast live
stream the event.
San Diego when I'm down there. It'll be parents' night when we go down there. So very cool. I was good job, Marines, for that. Guys, one of the things I want to talk a little bit about, we had this in the show notes from last week, but LastPass was acquired by LogMeIn a week ago. And I had just been out there visiting the LastPass headquarters the day before they made the announcement. You know, they didn't tell me. I guess I don't rank up that high on the food chain there at LastPass. Mike, I want to ask you, you're a LastPass user. I don't know if you have any use LogMeIn. Everybody's kind of afraid that, you know, LogMeIn likes to buy things and then jack up the price. That's the perception. Any thoughts, Mike, from your side?
I used LogMeIn a long time ago and then stopped using them. And I am a LastPass customer. So the initial thought for me was exactly what you just said, was that I'm just a little worried that they're going to get rid of that free option or take things out of the free option and make them more paid. One of the things I liked about LastPass was that they recently made more things available for free. You know, we talked about that when they were on the show. So I was worried that they're just going to take some of those features and bring them back to paid or even take more of them away. So I guess it's kind of a wait and see game from them, but hope they don't do that.
Yeah. Kyle, anything? I know you're a LastPass guy.
No,
not at all.
Got this memory system of keeping track of all the passwords in my head, pretty much.
What are you, Christian Johnson?
Something like I heard he has a strategy. No, he does. And I keep some notes in OneNote to help me remember things, but nope, I'm just kind of, I don't know, I haven't needed it yet. I don't know, we'll see.
Okay. Well, we'll monitor them for sure in the network. They sponsor the show, and it'll be interesting to see where they go with where LogMeIn goes. They've been saying, they've been very open in social media. If you tweet at LastPass at all, they'll get back to you pretty quick now. They were really sensitive, especially that the week they were acquired. And we're getting ensuring people nothing's going to change, going to be the greatest stuff. In fact, it's going to give us more opportunities to do great stuff. They actually have, when I was there, they have a new version coming out that kind of changes the whole UI experience. And they were going to give me access to it, and I don't really have time to mess around with beta software at the moment. So I said, I'll do it with the rest of the consumers. But maybe nice to see they got a new UI coming. And if we make it through the new UI and they haven't changed the pricing structure, maybe LogMeIn will leave them alone for a while, or leave that the pricing structure in place going forward. So we'll stay. I will let you know if things begin to change. Kyle, let's catch up with you a little bit. You're working both at the school and at Best Buy. I know there's been a lot of stuff going on. Any new stuff when you think about what you're doing with your school? Have they thrown any new stuff or interesting stuff at you from a school perspective?
Yeah, we got all new Wi-Fi at the school. So I helped install it over the summer. Was my summer work project for that. So that was good.
What did they use? What did they end up using?
Meraki is the brand. They got bought by Cisco at one point, but probably some guys are familiar with Meraki. Just it's a cloud managed Wi-Fi, service. So all the access points, just you turn them on, they instantly hit up and connect to the cloud servers, and then our network admin can just control everything from there. So I just went around and installed those with another guy all summer, pretty much. That makes a huge difference in the educational environment. Just trying to get, before when we were having, we had random access points in the different hallways. So you'd have fourth grade hallway access point in third grade, and then if somebody takes an iPad from one hallway to another, they have got to connect to the different access point. And so it's definitely made things a lot smoother from that regard. And then what it's kind of really a separate thing, which actually I think, now that I think about it, I guess this could be you can use this as a home user if you wanted to sign up. You could sign up for the free version of Meraki MDM, Mobile Device Management, which is really like separate from their, they want you to use them together, but it's separate from their Wi-Fi. You can use them together or separately. That's what we started using to manage our iPads, because my building, between my two buildings, I have like over 500 iPads, I think, now, for my elementary school students. So, I think if it's under 100 users, 100 devices or something, so a family could, if they wanted to, if you want to, you know, monitor your kids or whatever you need to control, just see where everybody's at, or, you know, lock down different things, you can use the Meraki MDM for free. And we actually are we're grandfathered into a bunch of free accounts for managing our iPads that way.
Is that practical, though, for the average guy? I mean, when you think about, what would you install that on?
It's mobile device management, so it'd be for any of your mobile devices. So, that really gets into kind of, you know, what your parenting policies are on what you need to control and what you don't need to control and stuff. But you'd be able to, like, do location and prevent apps or force apps or just kind of really any kind of control you want to have over the mobile devices that are being used, so you could use it for some configuration and things like that.
Pretty cool. Yeah, that's Wi-Fi inside buildings. When we think about it, I still sometimes when I'm moving around at work, I'll have an open Excel document, and when I switch networks, it drops one and brings up another, just enough that it's changes something where I can't save it exactly back on the network.
Because you have it on a network share drive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a little frustrating, not going to lie. You're like, I wish we had, it was more like Google Docs where it just saved immediately. We could do some of those things, but we don't.
Yeah.
So it's one of those kind of deals. You guys are a Google shop for the most part, right? So are the teachers using Google Drives and Google Docs?
That's the thing I'm like kind of in progress with training them. I'm doing a curriculum. We have, in the elementary school, we have Moodle as our learning management system. So I'm building not really from scratch. I'm following some other people, but I'm kind of building a iPad training curriculum. That's kind of one of my tasks I've been given this year. And in conjunction of that, since our Novell network shares don't show up on iPads, we're still using Novell. So the idea is go to Google Docs for that. So yeah, there are a lot of people still very much used to this is my home drive and I open Word and Excel and PowerPoint and I do everything that way, but we're moving towards the Google Docs type thing. I think we're still going to be having teachers are going to have Windows desktops and Microsoft Office in their classroom for the long term future at this point, but we're trying to get all the teachers to have in my buildings, all the teachers have an iPad to work from.
Yeah, it's getting, it's interesting. Schools trail probably behind the enterprise quite a bit in some cases as far as getting some of the stuff done. And yet when the schools buy, they go big, right?
Yeah.
And they just, right, it's like kind of like, okay, we're going to buy, and this has got to work for the next 10 years. And so they go big, and they might leapfrog the enterprise from that standpoint. And then 10 years later, they're way behind, and they got to leapfrog again. That's always so interesting working in a school district. When Nathaniel's on, we talk about that kind of stuff all the time, and it's always a challenge to get that done. Mike, how was when you were at Creighton? I mean, we're talking about a pretty prestigious university. How was their tech and infrastructure and Wi-Fi? Pretty easy to get that around the building?
For the first 4 years, it was actually pretty good. They had a whole system for when you came on, if you wanted to plug into the wired ports, which they were phasing out. So they were trying to turn off all of the wired ports in the dorms. They didn't want anybody using them. But they had certain ways to register, like your Xbox. They had all the gaming consoles on a completely separate network than everyone else, just because of the amount of traffic, obviously, that generates. So you'd call them up and you'd give them your MAC address and stuff like that. So from a standpoint of being organized and structured, they were great. Last year, Cisco rolled out an update that broke their wireless, and so for the entire semester, they were down probably 50% of the time. You couldn't get wireless access for an entire semester. I mean, this was not a short-term deal. And the Creighton Law School finals are completely online. We get a computer, and we use our personal computer. We have software, and we take the entire exam on it. So if we don't have internet access, we were not able to take finals. And so they finally got a workaround to work just in time for finals. But overall, they have the great structure, but I think it was a Cisco issue. I'm not sure whose fault it was. They were kind of passing the buck on it. But it's overall very well done. They have the guest network, and then you use your standard ID. The thing I like about Creighton is they have one ID and password for absolutely everything. When I log into Microsoft, when I go to my Office 365, I use my Creighton login. And if I update the password with Creighton, it updates the password with Microsoft. Everything does do all that stuff. So their overall network and infrastructure is really good. Wi-Fi, it could be a little better, though.
Well, Wi-Fi's tough, right?
Yeah, we ended up doing our own. I wired in, and I told them that my Wi-Fi was actually a computer. I gave them the MAC address of it and said, hey, yeah, this is my computer. And so they granted access to it, and then that was our Wi-Fi. We had our own Wi-Fi in our apartment. So that's what we did to kind of trick it, because the wired was way fast. So
it's one of those things now where if I can't get Wi-Fi in a location, I am crippled. I mean, it's just, yeah. I'm expecting to be able to go in and get Wi-Fi and get it pretty instantly. In fact, when I was on the phone with Sprint, getting Tim's phone deactivated, I thought, okay, so, I asked the guy, okay, what's the pricing now if I want to turn my phone into a hotspot? Because I just get so tired of landing places and not being able to get Wi-Fi from that standpoint. And they have a 2-gig, $20 plan, Sprint does, which would probably be enough, to be honest with you, get email. I'm not going to watch movies on it and stuff, but take my Surface, connect, pair it with my phone, get Wi-Fi. That would probably be perfect. So I may activate that. I'm at the end of the busy season of traveling. You know, I'm kind of home now from, well, I do go to Seattle here in a couple weeks for the MVP summit for Microsoft. But for the most part, man, wireless on the Microsoft campus, pretty dynamite. I'm not going to lie. Not going to lie. I mean, like, podcast quality good there. And so that's a pretty good deal from that standpoint. Kyle, we had asked Addie last week. We had her on the program. Some things she was looking forward to with Christmas coming up, and it doesn't mean we can't buy Christmas presents for ourselves sometime between now and then, right? Got some deals coming up. I'll highlight one here in a second that I saw from Dell. But what are you looking forward to, or what would you like, you know, as you think about Christmas, or what are some things you're keeping an eye on when we talk about gadgets?
Yeah. So I've been. Let's see here. I only have two SSDs, and I've been holding out for, I keep saying I'm going to buy one, and then for just to have more for my, actually it's for my, it'd be for my little, I have like a server I use over here just to train, like really for like training and practicing virtual machines and stuff to get up to speed at schools on stuff at work. So I keep telling myself I need an SSD in there, but it keeps working and I haven't been using it a lot recently. So my goal is 20 cents per gigabyte. I feel I just, that's like a 250 gig hard drive for $50. That's when I'm in. I just keep waiting for them to drop there. So, yeah, that's the techie, that I guess the techie side of it. But
yeah, that's one thing to wait for from that standpoint. But you got a little one coming.
Yep.
So what are you thinking about from a tech standpoint on that?
Yeah, so been looking. I dropped this in the Facebook group a while ago, but baby monitor. It looks like, I mean, from what I can tell, there's some Motorola ones out there that a lot of people have. I don't know. I guess most of my, this home gadget type stuff is kind of like me asking questions to you to you guys in the chat, not like I know something.
That's
but
good.
Like I am looking for recommendations at home. On a baby monitor, I kind of a lot of them have like their own separate like mini tablet that comes with it. That's the screen, and I kind of like that's kind of convenient. That way you don't have to worry about finding your phone or getting it charged or you know make sure your phone's charged. But it kind of would be convenient to have it like on your phone too. And I would kind of like it to have its own screen and then also to connect to Wi-Fi for local viewing in the house, but I kind of feel like I don't want it to be connected to the internet for like privacy and security and stuff. So I don't know. Maybe I don't know if that exists, but I think that's kind of where I would go. That's the only baby tech I've come up with yet.
Well,
so.
I think you fall in the in. You know, you could go with some of the monitoring, some of these NAS devices, which you know you end up having to. Well, that's kind of weird. I just had some. Did you guys see that? Was there a weird?
Switch in between you and your other computer, and it's echoing.
Yeah, that's weird. Hold on. Let me make sure that's turned off. That's weird. Like that hasn't been a problem the whole show. It's been off, but
that's weird.
All of a sudden, it just became a problem. Well, it's okay. So, and that PC doesn't even have a microphone on it. So that's the weird. That's the weird thing. That's the server that does all the. I guess it does have a microphone. It's got a port, but there's nothing in it. So, anyways, did my audio change at all when I muted the Hangout?
Yeah,
it stopped echoing.
Yeah,
but it wasn't echoing the whole time, right?
No,
it just started.
Yep.
And I sound the same as I did like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
All right, that's kind of weird. So there are, By the way, Kyle Lopto is asking, when are you due?
Oh, March. Okay, March 2015, cool. 2016.
In the spring. Or let's say hopefully spring is on its way by March. That would be awesome. Yeah. There are some IP camera options, or there are some, you know, D-Link makes some cameras that are attached to the NATs. They're normally designed for security from that standpoint outside the house, but you could do some of that and capture some of those things. And then they do have some options. Synology would have some options. QNAP would have some options and then tie those to the cameras. That's a pretty expensive baby monitor.
Yeah.
to be honest with you.
Yeah. And I have, I think it's called the Belkin Netcam Wemo or something like that. And that, it's not a baby monitor, it's just a security camera, but the only way you can get to it is from the mobile app or the website. I cannot find a way to get it to hook into any local, you know, hit the IP address and get the stream to work, which I wish it would do, because then you could use like iSpy Connect or something and record right on your computer. They want you to subscribe for whatever it costs monthly to get online storage and stuff. So I don't know. I'm not super thrilled with that one at this point. So
you can definitely spend some money on tech to monitor your baby. You know, here's amazing. I had five kids between 1989 and 1997, right? And we never had a video monitor. We barely had an audio monitor. All of them have done pretty well. So, in fact, we got lots more sleep because we didn't have a monitor on, and for the most part, the kids did pretty well. So, yeah, Kyle, I know. You know, and I know you're working two jobs, and you know money's always tight. So it's one of those kinds of things of, you know, what you're making some priority decisions kind of based on that, and throwing a whole bunch of money at it isn't always an option. If you've got some options for Kyle, you find something cool, send those over to me. You can send them to jim@theaverageguy.tv, and we'll forward those on. You can put them in the post right below here. Do it that way, and I'd love to hear some of your options, and maybe from the inexpensive side, thinking of that. As well. So it sounds like Lopta's family is due as well. So congratulations, Lopta. He's a longtime listener out there as well. So that is what he's saying, right? I'm trying to follow the chat.
Yes,
okay, it is. Good. sometimes people type things in there, you only read the sentence and you take it out of context, yep. And then you're like, is that what he really said? Trying to keep up with the chat room tonight and make that work. So Kyle, we'll say good luck. We'll check back in with you. Your podcasting days are over, though. You know that, right? I mean, we're gonna have to. We'll book you for February, maybe early February, and bid adieu to you, and then the kid will take it. It's just kind of the way. Weaker, you can't ever have kids, by the way.
Do
something. Fix that so that never happens.
You mean literally fix it, or because that would work, but
I can't lose you as a co-host, and I'm not really interested in having kids. So if you just
let's have a cute little addition right here.
But... You've got a long while.
You got Petey. Yeah, we got Petey. Yep.
Kyle, any other home automation? You'd mentioned in the show notes, maybe a little bit about doing with a thermostat. Do you really think that's worth it? I mean, what does a Nest thermostat do for you?
Well, I mean, everybody keeps talking about, I mean, we've been talking home automation in the, you know, for forever, but first of all, I was in an apartment for a while, and then last summer we bought a house, so there wasn't a lot I was going to do in an apartment, but now that we have a house, you know, sure, it'd be great to have, like, this huge system where I can just sit here and push a button and everything changes or whatever, but I mean, a lot of that stuff I just don't need. I think first what I would like is a thermostat, and actually I think it was Nathaniel a couple of shows ago that mentioned he has a thermostat that can run the fan on a schedule like 20 minutes out of every hour, whether it needs heat or cool or not, because most of these thermostats, they only run the fan for air circulation when you need to add either cool or you need to heat it up. So this way, we'd be able to get that circulation going. So I thought that was a really good idea, just because sometimes, you know, you don't really need it to change the temperature, but you want some airflow. So I thought something like that would be good. The thermostat we have now is just horrible. Like, you tell it to change to, like, you're like, it's like 68, and you say heat to 70, and it just goes to 70 and 71 and 72, and it just keeps going, and you're like, I thought you were supposed to stop, you know? So,
well, it's got to cycle out. That's the problem. It's probably it hits 70, and then it's got to cycle that heat out to cool the coils down before it shuts the fan off. And then your house is probably small enough that raises it and drops it. So, yes, how old's your furnace, you know?
Oh, I don't know. Probably 15 years maybe.
So it's a little less efficient and probably runs hard and fast to get your house heated up. And then where some of the newer runs run a little bit longer, but they run a little bit cooler in what they do. So, you know, that's a whole, that's a tough decision when you're thinking about, especially new house, and you're thinking about replacing those. And that stuff, I mean, your HVAC is maybe one of the, besides a roof, might be one of the more expensive things to replace.
Well, I have a roof leak too, so.
Oh, no. Well, get the roof done first.
My buddy was telling me he has a friend who just bought a house, a used house, but they got it for a good deal. Realized, hey, when we have the air conditioning on, it just stays on. Like, it, to keep the house at an even 74, 75, it's just running constantly. And so they had someone come out and like, well, that's not a big enough air conditioner, because they didn't know, but the people before them added an addition onto the house and just piped it into the regular AC and never updated the air conditioner. So like, okay, well, let's just put in a bigger one. Well, the power supply, they can't get enough power down to that spot for a bigger air conditioner. So they're like having to redo all the wiring to, for the electrical. It turned into like this huge thing that they never expected it to be. But
yeah,
seriously, the pains when you don't pay attention to that stuff.
It's one of those things when you do when you're buying a new house and you have an inspector, you ask them, let's make sure that the furnace and the air conditioning are sized appropriately. Those are very, very important questions. You're right. You can also a lot of contractors will be like, well, let's overdo it. And on an air conditioner, it'll actually freeze the lines and cause damage. Yeah, it gets too cold. And it needs to be running more and taking more heat out of the building, but it's just there's not enough there. Okay. And so you can overdo it too. That's one of the tricks a lot of guys. Well, hey, you know, if you need a two, we'll just give you a three. You can't go wrong by going bigger. Well,
right.
You actually can. So, hey, Kyle. So we got an idea here going on in the chat room. We're gonna as a community, we're gonna track down and look at some baby monitors since we have a couple folks that are getting babies in the community. And then we'll use the Average Guy Tech Scholarship Fund. Let's try and keep it in that $100 range. And we'll ship monitors to you guys to, one, as baby gift, but two, you can try them out, test them, write about them a little bit. You won't be on the show because you can't. It'd be impossible. But maybe you can write a little bit in your sleepless stupor. And we'll post them. So, Kyle, you'd be willing to do something like that if we bought you a baby monitor?
If you want to give it a shot.
Lopta, let's Lopta as well. If you're still listening, he popped away for a second, so I'll have to work with him on that. But Tony was dropping some links here to some baby monitors. It's a search. It's in the chat room. It's a search for some baby monitors. And so, Kyle, why don't you grab that search link? And your homework is to go look for some kind of tech that we can do along those lines. We'll get your baby monitor and you can give it a try. How's that sound?
That's good.
All right. That's just a reminder since we are doing this. And actually, Bill is trying out one of those new Intel sticks. It's a Windows on a stick, and he's been trying that out. We'll have some reviews coming from him. The Average Guy Tech Scholarship Fund, that stuff is real, and it does help. So if you're out shopping on Amazon, use theaverageguy.tv/Amazon, and that'll benefit the Tech Scholarship Fund. We've got a little bit of money in there, but we'll look at baby monitor for Kyle, and we'll get Lopta in there as well. Lopta, I'll need you to email me your mailing address, and you'll need to pick one as well that you want to try, and we'll try and get you and Kyle. It's like a baby monitor face-off.
Duel.
Never thought in a million years I'd ever say that on Home Catch Geeks.
Bet you did.
Baby monitor face-off. Dun, dun, dun. Pretty cool. Mike, we won't talk a lot about fantasy, but because nobody wants to hear that. Every time we talk about that, the chat room revolts on us. But there are some technology. I don't know what the heck happened with fantasy football, but DraftKings and those other guys, FanDuel, just gone nuts. And there's been some problems with the technology and maybe even some cheating. What do you know along those lines?
Well, there's kind of two stories. It's kind of a two-pronged thing. So a few weeks ago, I don't know how recent it was, maybe last week or 2 weeks ago, it came out that some of the DraftKings employees, or a employee, was using the information that he was able to see on the inside from DraftKings, go over and use it on FanDuel, and was winning like hundreds of thousands of dollars because he was using – they're pretty much the exact same thing. And if you guys have never heard of these, they are the – I don't know how you haven't, because their advertising is in the millions.
It's ridiculous.
Per week. They're spending millions per week on advertising. And it's a daily fantasy sport, so you go in, you pick your players, and it can be for a day, it can be for 2 days, 3 days. But usually they're just for one day and for one night. So like right now I'm I got my hockey one up. I'm doing some hockey tonight. And but what happened, yeah, so the guy got in a lot of trouble for that. Basically caused a huge ruckus with people saying, hey, the integrity of these websites, they're not really being checked by anyone. And it's not regulated because they're not considered gambling sites. In the federal laws, there's a cutout for fantasy sports. And these two websites took advantage of that. So they don't even have to qualify, even though you pay money, you're gambling money. It's clearly a gambling website. They're not considered that way legally. And so when this all happened, even I've kind of questioned in the background. I said, okay, if you've got millions of entries in these games, how many of those is DraftKings, their bots, just filling in the final spots, and then if that bot wins, they don't have to pay out the money? I've always wondered if they do that. That was not an issue here, but overall just questioning the integrity. So after this whole thing blows up, just this week, Nevada ruled that they are considering these sort of sites to be gambling websites, which means that they need to have a license to operate in the state and to be a gambling site in the state. So DraftKings had to cease operations in Nevada. So they had a big update, and Nevada residents can no longer use FanDuel or DraftKings. Now, this isn't a huge thing. It was kind of, everyone thought it was a big deal, like, oh my gosh, why, you know, it's the first state to say no. It's not really. You can't use this in Iowa, Wisconsin. And there's some other states where it's already illegal to do that, to use these sort of sites. But just one more state that kind of is on the ball, and I'm sure a lot of other states, and us who live in Nebraska, who we don't, we, you know, gambling's not allowed here in the state of Nebraska. So I'm sure we're just a few, you know, weeks away from Nebraska outlawing DraftKings, which it's blown up. I mean, this is a huge industry that just pretty much started this year. It got really big this year, out of nowhere.
Just nowhere. All of a sudden, it's like football started, and it's DraftKings, and I mean, it's just...
Oh, I mean, you see ESPN doing their... They're sponsored by DraftKings, and they do their DraftKings lineup, who they would pick. It's no longer like just regular fantasy. It's, oh no, who would we pick during fantasy, and who's going for the money? They talk directly about how to pick for this daily fantasy sport. So... kind of really interesting, and especially for me on a legal side, I kind of want to read how Nevada did it and how they worded it, because of the, you know, federal carve out for these sort of fantasy sites. I just don't know how it's going to work. You know, it's kind of like the whole, you know, we talk about, you know, illegal drugs and certain states allowing it, but still the federal rule is something different. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out in the coming months. But
I think it has to. I think it's got to play out. This is ridiculous.
Yeah,
what they're doing is it's insane. I mean, everybody, when everybody says, well, how do they do that? Then you know, like, they have skirted around the law.
Yeah.
And it's at least here in the United States.
Well, and it's funny. I mean, the law is written in a way that you think the law is stupid. Like, I think the federal law is, like, weird. Like, why do you carve out for fantasy sports? Like, I get it. I get the reason why they carve that out. But then, I mean, DraftKings and FanDuel, you have to give it to them, like, let's make money on the carve-out. Okay, what's the one thing that we can still gamble on legally? They found it, they created the platform, and it's been massively successful.
Oh, it's been incredible.
I thoroughly enjoy it. Like, I love DraftKings. It's completely changed my sports watching experience. And, you know, if I have to give it up, no big deal. It's just a fun thing for me, but still, it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, we've had a good time in our league. We started a fantasy no money league here between Mike.
We could if we wanted to, because it's legal to gamble.
We, we could. We chose not to in this year. Yeah. And I got some listeners from Home Gadget Geeks, some listeners from Mike from Open Mic Night, and family members. Phil, my oldest son, is involved. Hannah is involved. Mike's wife is involved doing it. It's been a lot of fun. So thanks for organizing that. I'm enjoying it. I'm not spending too much time on it going forward, which is good. I make some trades, and I've done a few things while I've been waiting around in the airports and stuff like that. Let me check fantasy. Maybe I need to move some folks around. But, man, the phone app on ESPN is dynamite. I mean, it's just incredible. So it's been a good technology. Ken is asking in the chat room, have you used the Xbox app for football? Apparently they're putting some sensors on guys, and you can see speed and stuff like that. Have you, for NFL, have you done anything on the Xbox?
Oh, no. I haven't, mainly because I have the app, and I've snapped it to the side before. I only use it for stats, like, or like other scores of the games, because it would really be nice if we had used NFL.com for our fantasy site, because then you can pop up your fantasy team right next to the game you're watching, which would be really cool. But we're on ESPN, so we don't have that ability. But yeah, I mean, I didn't know about the sensors, but otherwise the whole, just on the Xbox in general, you know me, I can't rant and rave about how awesome it is enough. I snap things to the side all the time. I'm always having scores up on the right while I'm watching other things, and it's just fantastic. It's the best way to watch TV.
Yeah, we had both two questions that had come in the pre-show when we were over in Blab. One of you bought your Star Wars tickets, and I haven't. Kyle has. Is that right, Kyle?
No, not yet.
Mike?
No, I have not.
So none of us have. So no Star Wars tickets yet from that standpoint. And then what else was I going to say? There was one more thing I was going to say. I forgot about that. Well, it'll be interesting to see where fantasy goes with that from a tech perspective. We also were talking, I remember now, in pre-show about media. You know, what somebody had asked on Blab, what's your favorite media server or whatever, Mike, yeah. You were talking about Plex. I've gone back, got everything running here. You know, if you've been listening to Home Server Show, I kind of did a redo down here in the basement with some of the equipment, moved some stuff around. So we're completely back on Media Center. Everything's working the way it is. Windows 7, having a great time with it. It's working really well. In fact, I moved a 1 terabyte drive out of the Drobo the other night and put it in the Media Center box downstairs, and so it's running. They've got 1 terabyte of storage, Sarah does now, on a Core i3 box, the Core i3 540 box that I've had for a while. It's been a great Media Center. It's worked really, really well. It's up and running. We took that micro, that Dell micro, I think it's a micro desktop that we talked about last week, upstairs. Sarah's using it now. And I've been working really, really well on that Windows 10, and I've been waiting for Brian had me buy the cable that'll allow me to, because there's already a bracket on the inside of that thing, so you can just put a 2.5-inch drive in. I'm actually going to put an SSD drive in there. She won't be storing media, so it'll be great extra storage for her. And I got a 120 gig SSD drive that I've had for a while, came out of another broken box. And she'll get that. So I'm just waiting for that cable. Brian, thanks for that recommendation on the cable. That item, Dell, if you haven't checked it out yet, I'll try and put this in the show notes, but Dell's Black Friday deals are already out. So if you want to take a peek, and they've got that box, I think it's pretty close to that box, on sale for $99. I paid $150. I thought it was a pretty good deal. If you want to get through Dell, $99 through the Dell site. So we're already talking about Black Friday. That is crazy. Mike, do you partake in Black Friday at all for buying stuff?
Yeah, sometimes we do. Just depends on what we need. We bought a new TV just like last month, so that's usually one of the things that we go for if anyone else needs stuff. But you know, if we don't, we'll know ahead of time. We'll know the day before if we're going or not. And we're going for one very specific thing or two, and then we get out of there. It's not an all-day event.
Okay. Kyle, Black Friday shoppers or no?
I work on Black Friday.
Sorry about that, man.
Same thing. If it's a – I remember even as a kid, you know, getting the newspaper, looking through every single, you know, deal, and just – if it's a deal I need, you know, what am I looking for? If SSDs hit 20 cents a gig.
There might be. You might see it.
You know, that'll just be baby monitors. So
finding that baby monitor.
Maybe there'll be baby stuff. It's not, we always think tech for Black Friday, but, you know, who knows, maybe you can get a million diapers for $10 or something. I don't know.
You better start stocking up now, by the way. Just get the newborn ones. Make sure you have a whole crap load of those, literally. And then you will, then they'll grow out of those pretty fast, so don't get too many of those. You got to kind of buy them as you go. One of the things I wanted to highlight, I'm going to throw this in chat really quick so you guys can see it as well, but I think I talked about this in the pre-show when we were over on Blab, is that somebody, let's see, who was it? Shoot, I should remember who this was. If you're in chat and you were the one that recommended this, let me know. They threw out this quirky egg minder wink app-enabled smart egg tray. So if you ever have trouble keeping track of your eggs, right? We've talked about the iDevices iGrill meat thermometer that's Bluetooth-enabled. This is a Bluetooth-enabled, syncs with your smartphone to tell you how many eggs you've got at your house. It holds up to 14 in a tray. Let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14. Yeah, 14, which is odd. Why 14? Eggs comes in dozens, right, at this point. You're muted, Kyle. Sorry. Don't forget to unmute that.
Leftovers.
Yeah, maybe so. So it holds up to 14 eggs. It keeps track, wirelessly connects to your mobile device to track the number of eggs you have, and it tells you when they're going bad. Now, it does it by date. So when you put the egg in there, it does a time stamp and the location, so there must be some proximity sensor that sits in it. It in the tray there are LED lights that indicate the oldest egg And then push notifications will alert you when you're running low on egg. And then the egg minder, I imagine it will alert you when you're at the store to buy some more eggs from that standpoint. So it's one of those kinds of things you think, really? But it's kind of cool from that standpoint.
I think I need this.
Yeah.
Right now, it's $13.95. $13.95 on Amazon.
I thought it was going to be like $100 or something where you had to pre-order on Indiegogo and pay $150 now and didn't ship till next year or something.
But it was engraved with your name.
But seriously, though, I buy eggs like every time we go to the grocery store. I'm like, I'm going to cook eggs. And then I go like 3 weeks without cooking them. And I'm like, is this batch bad or is it last batch? And a lot of the egg cartons, they don't put dates on them. What is the deal with that?
That's why the product's there. Look at that. That's what the guy who made it is exactly hoping you would think. He's like, oh, someone's going to have the same problem as me.
I seriously might buy that, $13.
I'd love it to be $18. So you get, but maybe they've got a version that's got $18. This was actually $14 on Amazon last night when we were talking about it. What was I doing? I was talking with somebody, and I was over, Steve Stewart mentioned this. I was over with Amy Robles and Steve Stewart. We were on Blab last night talking about Christmas, how to not go in debt at Christmas, which was a great topic. And Steve popped this in the chat. So Steve Stewart, he probably doesn't listen to the show, but Steve Stewart brought this up. It was $14 last night, $13.95 tonight. It must not have sold very well because the discount, you know, say you save $36. I mean, full price was $50. I'm not sure I'd pay $50 for an egg holder. But at $13, I might just have to get one of these. I'm not going to lie. We go through, Sarah does eggs every morning for herself, and so we go through a dozen eggs pretty quick. So for us, not a big deal. She'd be filling this thing up. That's why I like the 18, an 18 holder as opposed to just 14 or even 21 would be, well, 24 I guess would be the...
You have to recharge the batteries, I assume yours.
Oh, that's a good...
That's where the real expense is, right?
Yeah. This is made by Wink, by the way.
Double A batteries all the time.
Wondering. And they're in the fridge, so they would stay pretty cold. Interesting. I don't know. Ooh. Wait a minute. Let's see what they got here. For $75.
Two AA batteries. Oh, there's the bigger ones.
Oh, you can get four of them for $75. It's not. I thought maybe it was, you know, 4 times 12 and they were bigger, but darn it.
Still needs to fit in your fridge.
It's like it's a whole tray.
Yeah.
It's like you know when grandma used to pull out the deviled eggs?
There you go.
It was on that big old tray and there would be nobody. Does anybody do that anymore? Does anybody?
Oh, my grandma does.
Really?
Yeah.
But I mean, like anybody not 100 years old, is anybody making deviled eggs?
I love deviled eggs.
Aunt that makes them and brings them over, and my grandma just puts them out.
So you have to have the Wink connected hub to make this thing work?
I don't think you do. No, doesn't look like you do to get that done. Nope. Well, hold on. Let's take a peek. Brian's got this. He said he has it. So Brian Auer says he has it. Brian, throw it in chat. Do you have to have a Wink? Do you have to have the Wink hub to make this work? They do have the hub is $45. So if you've got to have a Wink hub, I've already got a Philips Hue hub.
You'd be able to ask Alexa how many eggs you have.
That'd be pretty cool.
That would be great. Or Alexa would, if you get down to 3 eggs, she would automatically add it to your shopping list.
That would be pretty cool. And if this, then that.
I didn't think this was the tech conversation we were going to have ever in my life.
Well, do we want to switch to golf? I've got a cool golf story.
Yes, go ahead. Let's get our man. Let's put our man badge. Let's put it back on.
Yep.
Go ahead. Talk about the golf app.
So you guys know I always talk about my Pebble and how much I love it. And I had heard or seen a YouTube video actually a while ago about an application for golfing and using it with your Pebble. So I went and looked at it and... Originally, when I watched the video, it was really complicated back in the day. I think the very first way the Pebble interacted with the iPhone wasn't conducive to having a very fluid app experience. But the app is called Swing by Swing, and it's one of the if you just search for golf GPS app, it's one of the top apps in the App Store. So just alone, the Swing by Swing app on the phone is pretty cool. So, you know, it's a traditional, it finds the course that's near you, you hit it right when you get to the course, it loads where you are, and then it has the GPS of each hole. So as you walk around, you know, you can walk right to your ball and know how many yards away you are from you know, the Flagstick. Nothing new, nothing revolutionary, but kind of cool. They have, they're one of the few apps, I think the only golf app as of now, that has a Pebble companion app. So you install the Pebble companion app on your Pebble, and then as long as that app is open on your phone, you can lock your phone and just keep it in your pocket. I never opened my phone again. I just started it on the phone, and it sends it all to your watch. So on the watch, it shows how far away I am. It auto updates as I'm walking around, and I can advance to the next hole. I can enter my score. So it asks me after I walk off each hole, it'll say, hey, what'd you get on that hole? And I can enter it all from the watch. So I was just kind of impressed. The input and the receiving end from the watch is really, really cool. And I was expecting really bad battery life, but I didn't go through much. I went through like maybe 15 to 20% of battery for the entire 18 holes, which, you know, takes close to three and a half, 4 hours, depending on how you play. So just a really cool, another way to use that Pebble is the Swing by Swing app. So if you're a golfer and you have that Pebble, I think it's something you definitely have to try.
Oh, very cool. Somebody jokes, who was it? I think Tony said you're on your
87th Pebble.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's 72. It's my 72nd Pebble.
No, that's good. You're just not going to submerge it in water.
Yeah, no, I didn't, you know, when my ball went in the water, I left it there. I was like, you know what, the Pebble can't handle it. We're just going to leave that ball in the pond. So no,
not going to get in your water. Don't breathe on it.
No.
Don't get in it. Don't take it to the shower. One of the things we're going to be reviewing here at theaverageguy.tv, one of the reviews I'll be doing here shortly, I got sent an Olexar, O-L-I-X, how do you spell it? O-L-I-X-A-R. It's called an Olexar Boom Brick. You can find these on Amazon right now if you just Google Olexar Boom Brick. They look like this. Pretty cool. They sent these to me. These on Amazon, they vary between $50 and $65. So right now they're on Amazon for $62.34. If you get Logitech makes some boom boxes. Actually, we've talked about them in the past. I bought one for Sarah, wirelessly charge them, and if you get two of them, two of the new ones, you can use them in stereo, which is pretty cool. This is all-in-one, so it's got two speakers on both sides. Pretty good bass response. You see on the back a charger right there. You can do a line-in. About 8 hours of battery life of continuous use, so not pretty bad, or not too bad. Took it with me. We went to Colorado two weekends ago, and actually played it in the car for a while. I listened to my podcast out through it for the car. Nice and crisp and clear in the car, with a little bit of road noise. So it's got a little juice to get over it. I imagine if you took it outside, put it on the deck. I've actually taken it to work, set it on my desk, turned it on, and used it as a like a conference calling. You know, it'll extend your phone. It's got a little microphone in it here, and you can use it as a speakerphone, which is pretty cool. So a little added to it, set it on your desk. This is going to stay at work, and when I want to listen when I'm sitting at my desk, which is almost never. But when I'm sitting at my desk, I'll play music through this, and if I need to take calls through my phone, I can use it. Something really easy you could take with you, too, if you're going to work out of a hotel. This would be something really nice to take with you, pair your phone with it if you do a lot of work out of hotel rooms or something like that. Pretty nifty little device. So Olexar, O-L-I-X-A-R, I'm probably not pronouncing it. Boom Brick, if you want to give it a look on Amazon, you can. We'll be reviewing it here shortly. As soon as I have some time to write it up, we'll. But I wanted to share that. They were kind enough to send that over to me and say, hey, give this a test. And so we've been trying it out in the field. I took it to work, put it on my desk, tried it in the car. Sounded pretty good. So if you're in the market for something like that, something to look at on Amazon. All right, guys.
Cracked me up. He, just real quick, he has a super old car with no sort of audio input. So he has one of those devices just in his car, and he just Bluetooths to it and turns it on when he gets in the car. I'm like, well, that's one way to listen to music in the car. So.
You could set this in and, you know, plug it in with a little thing, and it would work great. You know, you gotta press and hold the button to get it going in there, but that would work. That worked pretty well if you didn't have stereo in your car.
Yeah.
So pretty good. Guys, anything else? We're right at the top of the hour. Anything else before I bring this thing in for landing?
We ran through a lot of stuff today. That was good.
We did. I said we would, and we did. All right. Well, with that, I'll say, Kyle, don't forget to unmute. But, Kyle, thanks for jumping in tonight, and congratulations again on the new one coming. We'll work on a baby monitor for you and get some things figured out. But thanks for jumping in.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Hey, what's the hot phone right now? Since you're the phone guy at Best Buy, what's the hot phone right now?
Oh.
What are you selling more than anything else?
Well, it's been iPhone because the new one just came out. But, iPhone and Samsung, that's all that's left. Everybody else is just falling to the wayside. I mean, from a sales perspective, a couple of LGs and HTC once a month. That's about it.
Yeah. It's iPhone and Galaxy?
Yeah. that's it.
That's all that's left.
And I have a Note 4, and I'm like, what do I even upgrade to? It's like this is the first time I've ever not been dying for a new phone, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
What do you think of the curve last week?
Go ahead. So say that again, Mike.
Oh, I said we had that conversation last week of not being like dying for a phone because the phones have gotten so equal nowadays, and
I know.
Not really anything too and amazingly innovative on the phones.
From that standpoint, what do you think of the curved sides on the new Galaxy? That's kind of seems to be the only iteration that Samsung can come up with.
I mean, I don't. We sell them probably not quite as much as the other ones, but I mean, the people that get them like them. I mean, I don't know. Not, I don't think it's like huge, sure. But some people like them.
It's become a commodity. It made it faster to the commodity space than the PC did, and they're very much just a commodity now. I think there'll still be some innovations. I mean, Apple will try. I don't think the recent Apple stuff is terribly compelling from that standpoint. You know, it's like Microsoft making a big deal about 1,024 points of touch on their new pen. You're like, serious? that applies to like 0.05% of the market.
But it sounds cool.
It does sound cool. We're at that point. And of course, last week we talked about some of the Microsoft announcements that have come out. Lots of cool stuff. In fact, that's this Monday. So if you're at a Microsoft store this Monday, new Surface Pro 4s are out or will be out this weekend and available. I checked in at the store about the watch, and they said, no, not till Friday, my friend. And I'm like, oh, I'm on the road on Friday. Curse you, Microsoft. So I don't know where I'm going to get my watch. Ideally, I leave at 6:30 in the morning. I am going to check on Thursday. I'll go to the store, say, hey, what do you got? But Friday morning, 6:30 flight out of here. I get in Portland about 10. I got to go right to an event. So maybe I can talk my sister into taking me to the Microsoft store and downtown Portland. I doubt that's going to happen.
I think Best Buy is getting them. I'll have to look when the launch. I think we're getting them launch day. I don't know.
You're going to get them on Friday, huh? I'll have to check out a Best Buy. Maybe they'll be in those Best Buy vending machines in the area.
Yeah. What about Walmart? Aren't they? They're open 24 hours. So could they release it? Right? Could you buy it?
Is Walmart going to sell those things?
I don't know.
God, I hope not. That would be awful. That would be awful. That is definitely. I'll have at some point. I will definitely have.
It's Microsoft and Walmart. They go together.
Ugh.
Sorry, I couldn't think of anything.
That's the worst thing you've ever said, Uyghur. You're out.
That was a little too far. Because even I felt dirty saying it. I was like, that's too far. That's not even true. That's not even close to true.
That's dirty. Yeah. Then you're out. So yeah, well, we'll remind everyone to take full advantage of the Tech Scholarship Fund. We talked about that earlier, but theaverageguy.tv/Amazon. Don't forget to sign up for the newsletter. And I've been getting those out every other month at this point. I will definitely not spam you if you sign up for the newsletter. But I'll have an update this month. I'm going to try and get one out here as we get towards the end of the month. That's my goal every first part of the month. You can head out to theaverageguy.tv/newsletter if you want to see what kind of information you get in them. It's not terribly exciting. So if you don't want to sign up for it, that's fine. But I won't spam you. But you can. Last reminder to join us. Not the last one, but a reminder to join us. If you're an aspiring podcaster, Dave Jackson and I get together on Saturday mornings. Ton of fun. 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern if you want to join us for Ask the Podcast Coach. Dave and I are doing, we're back, sort of. He's out this week, but we're back doing Surface Geeks and Home Server Show. So if you want to join Dave McCabe and I over there, you can get that. We're getting those done a little more frequently, crossing my fingers, than we have in the past. And we will have you join us over there. If you want to chat with me during the week and you see the red light is on, it doesn't always mean I'm there. Sometimes I've forgotten to turn it off. But using the new talk.to to chat with me, if you want to drop me a note, that's not a bad way. You can just leave me a message, too. It'll just pop up. I may not get back right, but message for me as well on the sites if I'm not available. And then don't forget the new Android app and iPhone app is available in either one of the stores. Just search Home Gadget Geeks. Give it a try. And we thank LastPass for the sponsorship of that in a great little way to get it done. Don't forget, we're looking for your baby monitor recommendations, so drop that in the comments or send me a tweet or whatever. We'll get that.
Throw the Facebook group.
Facebook group would be good. Yeah, if you haven't come over, facebook.com/groups/theaverageguy. If you want to join us over there in the Facebook group, it'd be great to get that going in there, and we'll see if we can in the next couple months. Maybe we find a Black Friday one baby monitor kind of thing. We don't have to buy it right away. Kyle's not due till March. And so we got some time, but that'll be a fun item to try out for you. So we're looking forward to that. We'll be back. Let's see, am I back next Thursday? Actually, I am. Yes, we're back for one more week. I'm gone the week after that at the conference, and then we're back all talking Christmas and gadget stuff when we get back here. But we're out here Thursday evenings, 8:30 Central, 9. Golly, where's my head? I've already checked out, guys. I've totally, completely checked out of the podcast. It's like I'm not even here. 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern at theaverageguy.tv/Life Fun Podcast. Guys, thanks for coming out tonight. And with that, we'll say goodbye, everybody.